job as the senior elder coming from Jerusalem. But you see how I'm dressed today? Today I'm an African. I'm very honored to be able to wear the traditional shirt that you have here. I want to talk today about baptism. We're doing baptism today. And you know, the Bible says that there's more joy in heaven over one repentant sinner than 99 righteous. And the angels in heaven today are singing heavenly praise because of the people that are going to be baptized today. Because baptism is not about joining a church. Baptism is about joining the family of Yahweh. I want to start in Romans, the third chapter, in verse 10, because this is the very premise of our faith. According to what has been written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is not one understanding, there is not one seeking Yahweh. All turned away, they became worthless together. Not one is doing goodness, not so much as one. Their throat is a tomb being opened. They use deceit with their tongues. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery are in their way, and they did not know a way of peace. There is no fear of Elohim before their eyes. And if you drop down to verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. When Yahweh created human beings, He created them with human nature and a free will. And although Yahweh gave everything a human being needs to know right from wrong, because human beings had free will, human beings chose their own way. So from the very beginning, the first human, Adam, was set in the garden to be a ruler in the garden. And what was happening? We say the prayer all the time, the our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, the name of Yahweh. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yahweh is eternal. His heavens are eternal, His throne. And Yahweh was colonizing the heavens. He was colonizing. He was making a colony from heaven here on earth. And He chose one man, Adam, which is the same word. Adam is the same word for red because he comes from the earth. And the blood in Hebrew is dam because it's red. And He chose that man and He put him in the garden to keep everything perfect. But because of His free will, He chose to go against Yahweh. And from that time, as I'm reading here, every human being, except for Yeshua, Messiah, has gone the same route. They've gone their own way. They've gone their own thought pattern. They've made their own governments. They've made their own schools. They've made their own kingdoms. But not by the kingdom of Yahweh. And what is Yahweh doing now, like we said yesterday? Yahweh is restoring mankind back to Him. Yahweh is restoring everything that was lost in the Garden of Eden because Messiah is getting ready to come back to this earth. And He will rule the earth from Jerusalem to the nations. And the ones who are baptized, the ones who are family members, you will rule with Him. The Bible tells us in Revelation, we will be kings and priests in that kingdom. And it's a great hope that we have. And that hope is very close. It's not 1,000 years away. It's not 100 years away. It's not even 50 years away. It's just a very, very short time that we have to prove to Yahweh that we will be loyal, that we will be faithful, and then He will take us for what we were created for, to be kings and priests to Him in His kingdom, and to be teaching other people on the earth the same thing. If someone doesn't understand that, you're not ready for baptism. If you don't understand your fallen nature, you're not ready for baptism, because the requirements of baptism is repentance. It's not repenting for just what you did. It's repenting for what you are. It's repenting that from your very soul, you have chosen to go against the Creator of the universe. And never forget that Yahweh did not call us in our goodness. He didn't call us in our righteousness. He called us when we were yet sinners. He called us when we were still in our defiled state. But there's something he saw in each of us that was redeemable. There was something he saw in each of us to say, I can work with this person. I can change this person. I can take this human nature that's defiled this person, and with my spirit, I can make them into a child of the living Elohim. But that's the first thing. You have to realize all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. Baptism is not a good idea. Baptism is life. Without the Spirit of Yahweh, without having your sins forgiven, there is no eternal life. And we know from the Torah, there are certain sins that you cannot get forgiven for. Murder is a capital crime. You murder somebody, you're stoned to death. There's no forgiveness. Adultery is a capital crime. You commit adultery, you can't get forgiven. You're stoned to death. Idolatry is a capital offense. So we see that there's certain sins. Murder, adultery, idolatry, blasphemy. Blasphemy, another capital offense. And now when Yeshua comes, he doesn't do away with the Torah, but he makes the Torah larger. He explains to us the meaning of it. And he says, I say to you, the Torah says you shall not murder. But I say to you, if you've ever gotten angry with your brother, you've committed murder already. How many murderers are in the room? The Torah says you shall not commit adultery. I say, if you've ever had an improper thought of lust against another person, then you've committed it in your heart. So every human being that ever lived, except for Yeshua, is under a death penalty. And when Yeshua Messiah returns, the Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians 5:10, that everyone will give account of the things we did, good or evil, and we will be judged. Also tells us in the White Throne Judgment, right? All people will stand before Him, and the books will be opened, the books of the Bible, and they'll be judged out of the things of those books. Matthew 25 tells us He'll separate the sheep on one side and the goat on the other side. And the sheep, He'll say, come into my kingdom, and the goats will go into everlasting fire. So when you are baptized, you're literally becoming a first fruit of Yahweh. You're literally becoming a child of Yahweh. And you're going from death to life. You're going from this death penalty that's hanging over your head right now into eternal life and being totally forgiven. But like I said, it's not religion. The religion of today, the religion of Christianity, the false grace, the easy grace is not in the Bible. It's not something where you say this little prayer, you accept Jesus in your heart, and then you continue to go out and do whatever you want, and everything's going to be fine. No. The salvation that's in the Bible, it's a real salvation, but it's a covenant relationship. And Yahweh has a part by forgiving your sins and giving you His Holy Spirit. But you also have a part. And your part is repentance. And repentance means you turn away from. You don't go back to the sins that you're being released from right now. And sometimes I equate it to driving on the highway. If you're driving on the highway and you're going too fast, and a policeman pulls you over the side of the road, and he says you violated the law. He says you have to pay the penalty. He says, but you know what? I want to show you grace. The penalty has to be paid or it wouldn't be justice. He says, you know what? I am going to pay your fine for speeding. Even though it's my whole day's salary, even though I can't afford it, I will pay your fine because I don't want to see you pay it. When you go back on the highway, are you going to continue to speed or are you going to obey the law? Did His grace and His forgiveness to you give you a license to sin? Absolutely not, as we're going to see here. And your responsibility as a new believer in Messiah with His Spirit is to fight your human nature every single day of your life. And then the Spirit of Yahweh that is going to be put inside of you will grow and grow and grow. And you'll grow in the fruits of the Spirit. It doesn't happen overnight. But the more that you yield to the Spirit of Yahweh, the more you surrender your human nature, the faster it will happen. I've seen people that were baptized 20 and 30 years and never changed at all. And I've seen people that were only baptized for 2 and 3 months and became a totally different person. Time does not change you. Motivation changes you. You have to want to change. You have to surrender your will to the will of Yahweh. And that's the point. If you're being baptized, you should see that. You should see that your way didn't work. Your way only brought misery and destruction and violation to Yahweh and His law. So now there's a new way to it. The way through Yeshua Messiah, the way through the Torah, the way through obedience that brings happiness and good families and eternal life. If we go to Acts 2 and verse 37. Acts 2 and verse 37. And this is the very first sermon given by the apostle Peter, Simon Kepha. And it was a powerful sermon, right? The Holy Spirit is coming. He's telling the people there how Yeshua was the Messiah. David's not the Messiah, but the son of David, Yeshua. And he's telling them how they crucified him. And then if we drop down to verse 37 of Acts 2, he says, in hearing, they were touched in the heart. And they said to Simon Peter and the rest of the apostles, men or brothers, what shall we do? I hope as I'm telling you about your nature, I hope as I'm telling you about how mankind in general has fallen from the glory of Yahweh, I hope each of you are thinking that in your heart. What do we do? How do we get right with Yahweh? How can I have a personal relationship with the one who created me? And then he says, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Yeshua Yahweh. Yahweh being a family name. For the forgiveness of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Spirit of holiness. For the promises to you and your children and all those afar off, as many as the Master or Elohim shall call. So, this is what it's about. This is how you get right with Yahweh. This is the only way that the Bible tells us that your soul can be cleansed from the sins committed. Let's go to Colossians 2. Colossians 2. Verse 11. It says, in whom also you were circumcised, with a circumcision not made by hands, and the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Messiah, being buried with him in baptism, and by him you were raised with him, for you believe in the power of Yahweh who raised him from the dead. And you who were once dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has granted to live with him, having forgiven all your sins. And by his mandates, right, he canceled the legal contract of our sins, which existed against us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to the torture stake. Many Christians twist this scripture, and they try to say it's the Torah that's nailed to the torture stake. No, that's not what the scripture says. And the Torah, as we're told in the book of Romans, is holy, just, and good. Why would the Torah be nailed to the torture stake? No, what he's saying is, when you are baptized, you are buried with Yeshua. You're dying to the old self. He literally died. He literally gave his life for the sins you committed, because the Bible clearly says, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. And there's two parts to redemption. The first part is forgiveness. And again, no matter what anyone does against us, we have to forgive them, right? But the second part is reconciliation. Passover is about forgiveness. Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, is about reconciliation. And reconciliation can only come when the debt is paid. Because it wouldn't be justice. If somebody came and killed your child, sure, you could say, I forgive you, but it doesn't bring your child back to life. If somebody stole the offering box from the congregation, Pastor Emmanuel can say, I forgive you, but it doesn't bring the money back that was going to help all the poor people here. There has to be restitution. There has to be a penalty paid for the crime. And what Colossians is telling us is that when you go under those waters of baptism, you're dying to the old person, and now you're coming up, and you're accepting that Yeshua died on behalf of you. Somebody's got to die. You did penalty. Worthy of death. and he died in your stead. But 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 also tells us what? Now your life is bought and paid for. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. And he died so you could live, and now he wants to live in you. People ask me, how can I prove our way of life is right? And I tell them, your greatest proof is your own testimony. I grew up in the world like anybody else. I was a sinner like anybody else. And it's humanly impossible to change your human nature the way that my life has been changed. The only answer how my life could have been changed is through the Spirit of Yahweh. Humanly, it cannot change. People simply don't change. It's that simple. People may feel bad for what they did, but they're going to go and do the same thing. But through the Holy Spirit, you can change. Through the Holy Spirit, you can die to the old person. You can become a new creation in Messiah. But it's only with this Holy Spirit. You can't do it on your own. You have to surrender your human nature and your free will to the Spirit of Yahweh. And then that Spirit can work in you and grow in you and live in you. And the ones that will be baptized today, can you imagine the very Spirit, because there's only one Spirit, the same Spirit, and the Spirit is like the mind of Yahweh. It's what makes Yahweh think. It makes what he does. He literally is made up of Spirit. And the same Spirit that is in Yahweh the Father is the same Spirit that's in Yahweh the Son. That's why they're one. They're united. The word ikad, it's the same word that's used in Genesis where it says a man shall leave his mother and father and the two will be united. They'll be one. They're not one being, but they're one in thought. They're one in mind. They're one in purpose. And when hands are laid on you today by one of the elders to receive the Holy Spirit, you will literally get the mind of Yahweh. Literally, just like when a man and a woman, a husband and wife come together in love, and the woman becomes pregnant, it starts out as what? Just a little seed inside of her. But as time goes on, the third month, the fifth month, the seventh month, that seed is growing and it's a baby in there. And then at 9 months, the baby will be born. It's the same way with us. When you're baptized today, a little seed of the Holy Spirit will be impregnated in you. And the more that you yield to that seed, it will grow inside of you. And then when Yeshua returns, we will be born again. We will shed these earthly bodies. We will go up with a glorified body and meet him and be with him forever. That is our hope. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. And that is our hope. And what you have to do is not live to this flesh and blood. It's to die to the flesh and blood. The Levitical order, the Levitical priesthood, was only a shadow. But now you are joining the Melchizedek priesthood. The Levitical order did sacrifice of animals. What we are to be now is a living sacrifice. You're going to be a living sacrifice every day. And when somebody harms you, you don't give back evil for evil. But you love your neighbor as yourself, and you even love your enemies. How do you love your enemies? By not lying to your enemy, by not stealing from your enemy, by not committing adultery with your enemy's spouse. This is the way we show love even to our enemies. And it's not human. It's barely human to show love to people who love you. Divorce rates are 60%. Families are broken apart. It is not human to love your enemy without the Spirit of Yahweh. But I'll tell you something. If you look throughout history, even during the Holocaust, people that had German soldiers that killed their whole family, and later, the believer met that soldier and said, I forgive you. And that soldier broke down and came to faith because of the power of forgiveness, which can only be done with the Spirit of Yahweh. So your life is being paid. Yeshua's life for your life. And now you have to let him live in you. You have to let him live inside of you and be a part of you. And this is what's happening. Your death sentence, your legal contract for your sins, like it says in Colossians 2:14, is being taken out of the way. Because in biblical times, particularly in Jerusalem, people were crucified on trees. Yeshua was crucified on the tree. I've seen two trees in Jerusalem where they actually found trees of somebody crucified at the same time of Yeshua. What happened was when they were nailing the nail into the person's foot, there was a knot in the tree, and they couldn't get the foot off, so they pulled the body off, and the foot was left on the tree. And they found that tree with the crucified foot still there, 2,000 years later. And I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. And we know exactly how crucifixions took place. So a person wouldn't carry a cross. You can't. A cross weighs 400 pounds. They did not crucify people on crosses in Jerusalem. It was in Rome where they crucified on crosses. But you carried the cross beam. It was a beam that you carried that they would nail above you. And they would put your sentence, what you did. Here is Joe the robber. And they would do it very close to the city road so everybody can see and you can be humiliated for what you did. What did they put on top of Yeshua's crucifixion? They put Yeshua the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. And in Hebrew, it comes out to Yeshua the Nazarene, the King of the Jews, Yom HaVav-Heh. The very name of the Father was above him. And that's why the Jews were saying, take it down, take it down. And Pilate said, what I wrote, I wrote. It's staying up there. But Yeshua did no crime. He really is the King of the Jews. He's the King of the world. So what's happening is, what it says here in Colossians 2:14, and by his mandates, he canceled the legal contract of our sins. That every human being that ever lived has a legal contract to Yahweh for violating his Torah. And Yeshua is taking every sin you committed in your life, and he's putting it on that cross beam. He's dying for you in your state. And that's why when you come out of the water, you have to come out in newness of life. Because every time you sin after you've been baptized, you're putting him back on that tree of crucifixion. And you have to think about that. When you're ready to get angry or you're ready to say something bad, do I want to put Yeshua back on that crucifixion for this? No, we want to come out a new person. We want to come out in newness of life as a child of Yahweh. Matthew the third chapter. Starting in verse 1. Now in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the deserted places of Judea and saying, repent! Repent! You know, in Hebrew, Hebrew is a very ancient language, and before modern Hebrew, they had what they called Paleo-Hebrew. And Paleo-Hebrew was, the letters were pictures. And when you put the pictures together, they tell you something. Like in Hebrew, the word for father is Abba. My daughter calls me Abba. That's the word for father. And it's the Aleph, that's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, like an A, an Aleph. And the second letter is the Bet. It's like a B. And a matter of fact, the word alphabet comes from Aleph Bet. The English alphabet is a deviation from the Aleph Bet of the Hebrew. But the Aleph is a picture of an ox. And the Bet is a picture of a house. So the word Abba, the two pictures, mean ox, which is strength, and house, which is family. So the Abba, the daddy, the father, is the strength of the family. And every Hebrew word you can break down that way has a meaning there. The word for repentance, the word for repent, the word picture literally means to destroy the path to the house. You don't come back the same way. You leave the house, you're going for baptism one way, but you're destroying that path. Because when you come out of the water, you don't go back to the old way. You want to go back to the new way. And that's what he's saying. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is drawing near. For this is spoken of by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of Yahweh, make smooth his paths. And John himself had his clothing from hairs of a camel and a belt of leather around his loins, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Locusts are kosher, according to Torah. And Jerusalem and all Judea went out to him and all the neighborhood of the Jordan and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. I was blessed right after last Sukkot that we actually went to the Jordan River on the Jordanian side to the very place where Yeshua was baptized. They found the very place, they dug it out, they had the stones where he would have walked into, and I had to see this very place. And they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But seeing many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, offspring of vipers, who has informed you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. And do not suppose to say within yourself, we have Father Abraham. And I say to you that Yahweh is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. But already the axe is even laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, any tree not bringing forth good fruit is cut off and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you in water to repentance, but he coming after me is stronger than me, of whom I am not worthy to remove the sandals. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. So we see three baptisms, right? Baptism of water, baptism of spirit, baptism of fire. The Christian churches out here, we talked about it yesterday, they don't understand the Torah, right? So what are they preaching? Basically the baptism of water. It's like John's baptism. But in order to receive the Holy Spirit, you have to be able to accept the Torah. You have to be able to become a priest. And today, we're not doing the baptism of water, although you will go in the water. We're giving the baptism of spirit because you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. But you don't want to stop there. You want to also receive the baptism of fire. What is the baptism of fire? The baptism of fire is the purification of your soul by trials. Because think about it, right? When you get something like gold, and I know you have a lot of gold here in Liberia, when you first take the gold out, it doesn't look very good. People might not even know it's gold. And what do you have to do to purify gold? You have to put it in fire. You have to put it in fire. Fire will only purify something of value. If you put something in fire that has no value, it'll burn up. So that's what's going to happen. Once you're baptized with the Spirit now, you want to go to the baptism of fire. You want to allow Yahweh to put the trials in your life to help you to overcome. And it will purify you. And that's what the book of Jacob says. He says your trials are like a fiery fire that Yahweh is purifying. So he's not doing it because he's punishing you. He's doing it because he wants to purify you. He's doing it because he loves you. And he wants you to go now from water to spirit to fire. He wants you to purify your life. He wants you to sanctify your life. He wants you to live a life of modesty and chastity. He wants you to put out anything that's not of him. And that's what the Shabbat is for. That's what the holy days are for. That's what the clean meats are for, to sanctify our lives so we can continue there, though, and live a life of holiness to him. And prepare for the great job he has for us. Acts 22 and verse 12. Acts 22 and verse 12. He says, and a certain Hananiah, a righteous man according to the Torah, having been testified by all the Jews living there, and he said to me, this is the Apostle Paul's testimony, my brother Shaul, open your eyes. And instantly my eyes were opened and I looked upon him. And he said, the Elohim of our fathers appointed you to know his will and to see the just one and to hear a voice out of his mouth. For you shall be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, what do you need? What do you intend? Rising up, be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of Yahweh. So, very clearly here, baptism is a prerequisite to joining the covenant of Yahweh. Baptism is the very sign of the covenant. Covenant is an agreement, a sacred agreement between two parties where each party has something to perform. In this covenant, you're joining the new covenant. You're literally, when you're baptized, it's like an engagement. Because we know the mystery of the new covenant, right? Is Messiah is the bridegroom and we are the bride. So when you come out of that water, not only are your sins forgiven, and can you go to the throne of Yahweh unabated through the blood of Messiah, but literally now, you are having a betrothal. You are being betrothed to Yeshua. And from here to the day he returns will be the test. Will we be faithful? Will we be faithful to him or won't we? Galatians 3 and verse 26. Galatians 3 and verse 26. For you are all sons of Yahweh through faith in Yeshua Messiah. For as many as were baptized into Messiah, you put on Messiah. As many as are baptized into Messiah, you put on Messiah. Literally, like I said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. He is coming to live inside of you. We went into Acts 8 yesterday. I'll just briefly go in there again. We'll read the whole chapter. But just to show you, like we said, there is an authority to baptism. Not anyone can baptize. But Yeshua, it talks about in Mark 3:14, Yeshua laid hands on 12, who laid hands on others, who laid hands on others. We went over this yesterday. And that succession of ordination has never stopped from the first century until today. Acts 8. And again, we see this Simon Magus, the sorcerer, who's coming to faith. And then after he's not really coming to faith, but he's getting baptized and he's believing. And we'll start in verse 14. And the apostles in Jerusalem, hearing that Samaria had received the word of Elohim, they sent Simon, Peter, and John to them, who going down prayed concerning them that they may receive the Holy Spirit. For it was not upon any one of them yet, but they were only being baptized in the name of the Master Yeshua. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. But when Simon Magus saw the Holy Spirit is given through the laying on of hands of the apostles, he offered them money, saying, "Give to me also this authority, that to whomever I may lay on the hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit." So again, not anyone can do laying on of hands, but there's an authority that comes. And the authority is given to the elders, and that authority is being transferred, the Spirit of Yahweh. Mark 16 and verse 15. Mark 16 and verse 15. You know, it's very interesting because we have a wedding that's going to happen today. But really, many people are getting married today because we have a literal wedding of a husband and a wife that are taking their vows. But each one of you that are getting baptized, you're also, it's a betrothal. So you're not literally consummating the wedding, but you're getting betrothed. So what a great physical thing to see a man and a woman, a husband and wife, come together today on the same day we're going to do many baptisms. Talk about the Spirit of Yahweh working. Mark 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, "Going into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. The ones believing and being baptized will be saved, and the ones not believing will be condemned." So we see here that baptism is what brings salvation. Here comes our lovely bride now. Yahweh bless you. I want to get to the importance, though, of why we need to baptize in the right name. We know the Christian churches, 99% of them, baptize in the name of Jesus. And we said yesterday that Jesus is not the name of the Messiah. In the Messiah's whole life, never once did he ever hear the name Jesus. His mother, his father, his brothers and sisters, the apostles, nobody ever called him Jesus because there is no name Jesus in Hebrew. Jesus is a Greek name. The name in Hebrew is Yahshua. But there's more importance to it because it gets into your baptism. In 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, says, "Even as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of the one body, being many are one body, so also is Messiah. For also we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Aramaeans, whether slaves or free, even all were given to drink into one Spirit. For also the body is not one member, but many." So we see here that, as we said earlier, there's one baptism, there's one faith, and you're being baptized today not into a church, but you're being baptized today into the very family of Yahweh. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. It says, in many ways and in various ways of old, Elohim spoke to the fathers and the prophets. In these last days, he's spoken to us in the Son, whom he appointed heir of all and by whom he made the worlds. For he is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his being, and upholding all things by power of his word. Having made purification of our sins through himself, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Right? That's what we've been talking about. Yeshua paid the penalty for your sins that you're accepting, and he's sitting now at the right hand of Yahweh in heaven. And it says, and he, Yeshua, is altogether superior to the cherubs, just as the name he has inherited is a more excellent name than theirs. Did you catch that? It's an extremely important scripture. That Yeshua is above the cherubs. The cherubs are created beings. Yeshua is eternal, Son of Yahweh. And it says his name that he inherited is a more excellent name than theirs. If you look at the names of the cherubs that we see in scripture, right? We have Gabriel, right? Gabriel. El from Elohim. Elohim is plural, right? El is singular. And it means deity, the mighty one, the Elohim in heaven. But it's a generic title. Elohim is not a personal name of the Creator. It's a title for him. So when you look at the cherubs, they only have titles. Gabriel, Michael or Michael, Raphael. All of the cherubs use the generic title of El. But to the Son, his name is Yahshua. The name of Yahweh, the name of the Father on him. And we have a wedding going on today, like we said. And what happens? When a man and a woman come together in marriage, the woman takes the name of the man, right? She takes his name. The same way now, we're not taking the name of Elohim like the cherubs. We are literally taking the family name of Yahweh. He is putting that name on us. And do you see why Satan wants to hide that name? Do you see why Satan doesn't want you to have the name Yahshua Yahweh? He wants you to have the name Jesus, the son of Zeus. And he's laughing in heaven as all these Christian churches are baptizing in the name of the son of Zeus. But that's why we are better than that. We're higher than that. And when you're baptized today, you are literally putting on the name, the way the wife puts on the name of her husband, you are putting on the name of Yeshua Yahweh. Extremely important. A more excellent name, just like the new covenant, is a better covenant built on better promises. It's not like the first covenant. The first covenant was cause and effect. Like I said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. But the new covenant is, I will be their Elohim and they will be my people and I will remember their sins no more. So every sin that could not be forgiven in the first covenant can be forgiven in the new covenant. Let's go to Acts 13. Acts 13, verse 38. Acts 13 and verse 38. Then let it be known to you, men, brothers, that through this one, Yeshua, remission of sins is announced to you. And everyone believing in this one is justified from all things which you could not be justified by the Torah of Moses. Remember I told you? Murder, adultery, idolatry, and blasphemy. You couldn't kill an animal and have the sin forgiven. It was death. But in the new covenant, you can have these sins forgiven. It doesn't matter what you did before. If you repent of your sin and you turn from that way of life, and in faith you believe in the blood of Yeshua Messiah for the forgiveness of your sins, then any sin will be forgiven. Any sin whatsoever. Let's go to Romans 8. Because like I said, you're not joining a church. You're joining a family. You're joining the very family of Yahweh. He's impregnating his spirit in you. And that spirit, as long as you yield to it, it will grow in you And you will grow in the fruits of the Spirit. And like I said, when he returns, we'll shed these mortal bodies and we'll meet him in the air and be ever with him. Romans 8, starting in verse 5. For the ones that are according to flesh mind the things of the flesh, and the ones according to spirit mind the things of the spirit. There's the human nature, the spirit of the world that you see in your society, and there's the Holy Spirit of Yahweh that's imparted to the brethren. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity, hatred toward Elohim. It is not subject to the Torah of Elohim, and it's not possible to be. So without the Spirit of Yahweh, it's impossible to be obedient. Because our human nature is a nature of rebellion. We're living in what's called in Revelation the Laodicean spirit. Laodicean means ruled by the people. And you've seen it here in Liberia. You see what happens when the people rise up, when there's civil war, when they're fighting with each other, when there's no judicial order. And you've seen the horror of so many in the millions that died because of this. But the kingdom of Yahweh is different. Judicial order is different. But verse 8. And those being in flesh are not able to please Elohim. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, since the spirit of Yahweh dwells in you. And when you're baptized today, hands will be laid on you, and literally the spirit of Yahweh will be in you. But if anyone is not the spirit of the Messiah, this one does not belong to him. That is how you become a first fruit. You have to have the Holy Spirit. And as we read, you can only have the Holy Spirit by baptism and laying on the hands of the elder. But if Messiah is in you, the body indeed is dead of sin, but the spirit of life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of the one having raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, the one having raised the Messiah from the dead will also make your mortal bodies live through the indwelling of his spirit in you. So then, brothers, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the practices of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, these are the children of Elohim. So literally, this is what makes you a child. You did not receive the spirit of slavery again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship by which we cry, Abba, Father. I told you, Abba means like daddy. It's a term of endearment. So now, today, once you're baptized, once you have His Spirit living in you, not only are you engaged to the Messiah for the wedding supper at His return, but Yahweh literally becomes your real father. He literally becomes your real daddy. The Spirit itself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of Yahweh. And if children, also heirs, truly heirs of Elohim, and joint heirs of Messiah, if we suffer together, that we may also be glorified together. You can catch that phrase? That's a lot to chew off. Yeshua is the creator of all things, right? When he comes back to the earth, everything in the universe is owned by Yeshua. And what is he saying here? He is saying that us, his brothers and sisters, he is sharing with us the internal inheritance of the universe. As a child of Yahweh, as a king and a priest, you're not just going to live forever, but you are going to be part owner of the eternal universe that Yahweh created. How good is that? And then look what he says next. He says, for I calculate that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to compare to the coming glory to be revealed in us. And I know that's hard here in a place like Liberia because you went through a lot of suffering. You went through suffering and death and death of family members. But do you see what he's saying here? That even the suffering you went through for the purification of your souls is nothing compared to the glory that Yahweh has waiting for you. To be co-heir of the universe is absolutely mind-blowing. The last thing I want to get into before we end is that the covenant you're entering, although eternal life will be in you because Yeshua is an eternal being, you're not going to be given immortality till he returns. what is the difference of eternal life and immortality? Eternal life means you'll live forever, but it can be taken away. Immortality means it will never be taken away. So now he's going to put eternal life in you by his Spirit, but you have to prove to him that you're worthy for immortality. You have to prove to them that you're going to take this serious. You have to prove to him by your change of life that he can trust you with the universe he's ready to give you. So you will get eternal life, but you can lose that eternal life if you go back on this way. Let's go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 26. He says, "For if we are willingly sinning after receiving the full knowledge of the truth, after baptism, there remains no more sacrifice concerning sins. But he is ready for the fearful judgment and zealous fire being about to consume the adversaries. For if he who transgressed the law of Moses died without mercies at the mouth of two or three witnesses, how much worse punishment do you think will be thought worthy to receive the one trampling the Son of Yahweh and having counted the blood of the covenant as common, which he sanctified, and having insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who has said, 'Vengeance belongs to me, I will repay,' says Yahweh. And again, Yahweh will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Elohim." So again, if you haven't repented yet, if you haven't straightened out your life, if you know that next Shabbat you're going to go out and work, if you're living and cohabitating with someone who's not your legal husband or wife, if you get baptized today, you are not getting baptized to life, you're getting baptized to death. So don't do it. Don't do it. You know right from wrong now. If I baptize you and you purposely continue in the sinful lifestyle, like he says here, you're literally baptizing yourself to death. So if you need to work a few things out, maybe it'll take you a little bit to not be able to work on Shabbat, or maybe you need to get rid of that partner who's not your husband or wife, or whatever it is, if there's sin in your life that's not repented of, please do not be baptized. You can fool me, and you might even be able to fool yourself, but you can't fool Yahweh. And like he says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Elohim. You know, in Acts 5, I'm not going to go there, but you remember Ananias and Sapphira, and the man had a property, and he sold the property, but he lied about the price of the property. And what did Peter say to him? When the money was in your hand, wasn't it yours? He didn't have to give anything, right? It wasn't a commandment. But the fact that he lied about the price of it, he said, "You did not lie to man, you lied to the Holy Spirit, you lied to Yahweh." And immediately that man fell and died. So baptism is a serious thing. And Yahweh will do his part. He will put his Spirit in you, but he expects you to do your part. And again, it doesn't mean you'll never sin, but it means you're not going to live in a lifestyle of sin. And when you do slip up, if you do sin sometime, you get on your hands and knees, you pray to Yahweh for forgiveness, and he will forgive you for them. The other thing is, like I said, this covenant is a covenant that goes year to year until he returns. When Yeshua returns, if we're faithful, we'll shed these bodies, we'll put on immortality, and then the covenant will be final. But until that time, every year at Passover, you have to renew the covenant. And how do you do it? By getting together, taking the unleavened bread, the little sip of wine for his shed blood, and that renews your covenant every year. Yeshua added one thing to the Passover. In John 13, the foot washing. That we also wash each other's feet, men wash men, women wash women, but it shows that we are not too proudful that we would not get on our hands and knees and wash any brother or sister's feet in the congregation. So I'll make sure that Pastor Emmanuel has all the instructions for Passover. It will be coming up just in a couple of weeks. It's April 11th, the night of the 10th, so I'll make sure he has all. But it's important because if you miss the Passover, you're cut off from the covenant. I'm going to read this to you in Exodus 13. Exodus, the 13th chapter. Exodus verse 10. He says, and you shall keep this ordinance, the Passover, at its appointed time from year to year. You can't just do it whenever. There's Christians that take communion every week. Protestants do it every month or four times in a year. But very clearly, we only take the symbols of the bread and the wine once a year at Passover. And you know why? Because the Bible says you're to examine yourself before Passover. Passover is a yearly examination to see if you're growing in the faith. And you need to take weeks or a month and seriously pray, fast, look in the Word of Yahweh and say, am I overcoming? Am I more spiritual this year than last year? And we're told in 1 Corinthians 11 that brethren were even dying because they were taking the Passover unworthily. So you want to make sure you're not doing that. You want to make sure it's a time that you take it once a year and it's a memorial, like Yeshua said. And that's why a memorial is something that happens once a year. And again, when you go out here to your fellow Liberians and you want to bring the good news, if you went out to these people and said, there was this really, really nice man, Yeshua, who lived 2,000 years ago, and he's dead, and he died. How many people are going to want to believe that or join that? Nobody wants to join of a dead person. That's why Catholics, Catholicism, they have a cross hanging in their churches with a dead figure on the cross. But Yeshua is not dead. Yeshua is living. He's resurrected. So 364 days a year, when we go out there, we're talking about a living Messiah who's living in us. We're talking about a Messiah who's doing miracles and powerful works. But one day a year, on the 14th day of Aviv, the first month of the Hebrew calendar, we also remember the dying Messiah. We remember that he died for us. We remember that we should be there, and it humbles us from year to year. It's a memorial that we do every year. And like I said, it's so important that in the book of Numbers, it's the only holy day that if you miss it, there's actually a second one. Because let's say you're deathly sick and you can't take it, or you're on a journey and you have no way of getting the symbols, that there's actually a second Passover, which would be the 14th day of the second month, that you must take it. Because if you miss Passover, you're cut off. You're cut off from Yahweh. Romans 6, the sixth chapter. Talks about the new person we are to become out of the waters of baptism. He says, what then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace abounds? Let it not be. We who have died to sin, how shall we live in it? Or are you ignorant that all who were baptized into Messiah Yeshua were baptized into his death? And that's why you have to go completely under the water. It's not a sprinkling. It's not just sprinkling over the head. You have to go completely under the water because you're dying to the old life. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that as Messiah was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we should walk in newness of life. For if you have been planted together with him in the likeness of his death, so also shall we be in the resurrection. For we know this, that our old self was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, so that we no longer serve sin. For he who is dead has been freed from sin. But if we died with Messiah, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Messiah, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For in that he died to sin once for all, but in that he lives to Elohim. So also you count yourself to be truly dead to sin, but alive to Elohim and Yeshua Messiah, our Master. Then do not let sin reign in your mortal body to obey its lust. Neither present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to Elohim as one living from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to Elohim. For your sin shall not master over you, for you are not under the penalty of law breaking, but under grace. Whereas before, whether it was alcohol, drugs, anger, whatever it was before that was your sin, with the Holy Spirit in you, you can overcome any sin. Cigarette smoking, whatever it is. But you have to surrender your human nature to the nature of Yahweh. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as to our master, because a husband is the head of the wife, as also Messiah is the head of the congregation, and he is the Savior of the body. But even as the congregation is subject to Messiah, so also the wives to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Messiah also loved the congregation and gave himself up on its behalf, that he might sanctify it, cleansing it by the washing of water and by the word, that he might present it to himself as the glorious congregation, not having stain or wrinkle or any such things, but that it might be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He, loving his wife, loves himself. For then no one hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even also as our master does to the congregation. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this a man shall leave his mother and father, and will be joined to his wife, and the two shall become echad, flesh, one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak as to Messiah and his congregation. Nevertheless, let every one of you so love his wife as himself, and the wife that she give reverence to the husband. So again, baptism is a covenant, and literally, it's a betrothal. It's a betrothal when you're baptized, that you're being betrothed to one. And like I say, whether you're single today, whether you're married, whether you're divorced, it doesn't really make a difference. Every one of us is being tested by Yeshua to see if we'll be faithful. Single people need to be faithful. Married people need to be faithful. Divorced people that can't remarry because they have a living spouse need to be faithful. So everybody needs to prove to Yeshua that we will be faithful for eternity, and the baptism covenant is a betrothal and a marriage covenant. So the way the baptism will work is we'll go down to the water and everybody will get inside the water. And there's basically two questions that will be asked of you. Have you repented of your sins? And do you accept the blood of Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, for forgiveness of your sins? You'll say yes, and then I'll say, be baptized or immersed in the family name of Yeshua Yahweh. Then everybody will go under the water himself, completely under. And then once you come up from the water, you'll come, there'll be me and the other elders that will be standing there. You'll get the lines, and we will lay hands on you for the imparting of the Holy Spirit. So, like I said, there's more joy in heaven over one repentant sinner than 99 righteous. And today we have so many that are joining the family of Yahweh. I don't know if I've ever did this many baptisms at one particular time, one instance. And it's a blessing on the day of Shavuot, the first Shavuot or Pentecost. There were 3,000 people baptized in that one day. So Yahweh is happy today. The angels are happy today. And are you happy today? Oh, that doesn't sound... You could do better than